Hi guys, and welcome to episode 8 of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. How are you guys doing? How have y'all been? It's been a while, right? I have missed you guys. Like, it feels so good to be talking today with you. And just, I have so much on my heart, so much on my mind that I've been wanting to kind of put together for you guys to basically receive. But I've just kind of been waiting for the right time, the right way to communicate what I would like to say. And then on top of that, in the past, I'd say maybe 2 months, life has just happened. So what's really been happening, Deborah? Let's talk. Let's do real quick life update, shall we? Okay. So first and foremost, if you don't know, I traveled recently to Budapest. So I took a solo trip there and I had the most amazing time. I think I was there for 4 days. Yeah, it was 4 days. And it was so good. Like, it was so healthy for me to be there. I was able to rest and I was able to explore. I love a cheeky solo trip. Like, I really, really do. And this trip was so good that there were ample moments where I cried tears of joy. I know it sounds really, really, really soft. I know. But yeah, you girls, that soft. It was fantastic. So if you guys want to kind of catch up with that, I have saved the highlight to my Instagram highlight, so you can check that out. And that was fantastic. And then when I haven't been traveling, I've been doing events, actually. Your girl getting booked, but busy and blessed. Thank you, Jesus. But no, I've been speaking at a few events, which has been such a good experience. I love, as you guys probably know, I love talking and I love listening as well. And one of the things that I love about hosting or just speaking on panels is that you get the opportunity to do just that. So my most recent events, I was at We Are Black Journos. I actually was the host for that. So that was super fantastic. Amazing crowd, amazing energy. We Are Black Journos is something that is actually ran by Hannah Ajala. Some of you may have heard of her because she's also behind something called Black British Travel Meetup and numerous other organizations that are amazing. So definitely check them out. Then I was also on a panel at an event called The Transcript. Shout out to my girl Margaret. She is the founder of that movement. And it's basically a space where they're able to have these open discussions, open and honest conversations around basically the things that interest us, the things that we talk about in our WhatsApp group and whatnot. So that was really cool as well. Then after all this fun, or in the midst of all this fun and excitement, your girl was sick. I was hella sick. Like, I haven't actually been that sick all year, actually. Yeah, it was a bit mad. It was a bit peak. But yeah, the flu got me. But it felt more like man flu because I was out for the count. Like, I was... It got to the point that I started saying to myself, oh my gosh, maybe I'm never going to be well again. Not in like a where is your faith kind of way, just like a I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I began to think of all the years that I'd taken my health for granted and like breathing out of my nose and like being able to do like simple things like walk to the fridge and not feel dizzy. It was hard. So yeah, I was really, really, really down for about 2 weeks. I was just out. And that actually forced me to rest. So kind of since then, I've tried to be more intentional about just living. I'm the kind of person that I'm very much a doer. I'm very big on kind of, okay, what are we doing next? Like, let's build this, let's make this project, let's do that. And sometimes I kind of just forget to live in the moment and just to be, basically. So yeah, the past few weeks have looked like that. And sometimes that looks like curling up on the sofa to some 90 Days Fiance. Sometimes that looks like spontaneous nights out. It's just all about basically finding that balance for me right now in life, which I think we're always constantly trying to establish. And with that said, today's podcast is going to be a juicy one for you. This was actually inspired by the last TTP letter that I sent out to the TTP tribe. How y'all doing? Hey, are you subscribed to the mailing list is the question. What is TTP mailing list all about? The TTP newsletter is a community of roughly 100 individuals who I share how I'm trusting the process with week on week. So you can expect candid lessons, transparency, honesty, and basically just giving you guys more insight into my own personal journey. So if you'd like to subscribe, then hit the link in my Instagram bio and you will be able to get the very next letter. But as I said, today's topic was inspired by the last one, which was titled, You Are Allowed to Change Your Mind. Now, when I put this one out, the response was crazy. The response was quite insane. And I think for me, when I get a positive response like that, it kind of reaffirms that I'm not the only person that is in this place. And I think that's so important sometimes just to know. One of my favorite responses that I received was from someone who I met recently, actually at the We Are Black Journos event, who goes by the name of Colleen Harris. Some of you may know her as a BBC journalist. And she sent this lovely message, which was just so encouraging for me. So she said this: "Hi, Deborah. Love your post on change and had to sign up for your newsletter. It really spoke to me and what I've been resisting for a long while. Hope you're well and thanks for sharing your journey." So one of the things that I love about what she said is the word resisting change. And that's one thing I really want to talk about. That's kind of the main thing, really, that I want to get out of today's conversation. When I say you are allowed to change your mind, on the surface, it probably sounds like a simple fact that we all know. But the reality is, as you're going through different seasons, as you're discovering new sides of yourself, new elements, new joys, new talents, new gifts, you are changing with that. And sometimes what that means is that a job that we were in before no longer fits us. Sometimes what that means is that a relationship that we were in before no longer fits us. And the truth is that in between who you are now and who you will be, who you are becoming, there can be this resistance. I know that for myself recently, one of the things I had to navigate is around my career and is around my job and asking myself questions like, is this truly what I want to do? Is this still fulfilling me? Is this still satisfying me? And those are some things that I talked about in the career edition, which I think was episode 6. So you can go and check that out. But I had to kind of establish and reestablish for myself what I truly want from a role and make peace with the fact that actually what I want has changed and that therefore where I am right now doesn't actually fit with where I'm trying to go. But I recognize that change can often be frightening for us. And so I want us to navigate this together. The question is, why do we resist change? Number one point is that we are too loyal to what was. I just want to open this up with a few lines which were in the last letter, which reads, "When we are more loyal to past decisions and choices than to what God is saying about the now, we run the risk of becoming stagnant. Stuck, we stay in a job, a relationship, a church, way past the expiry date, simply because subconsciously we feel we owe it to our past selves, people, and the time we devoted to remain. Meanwhile, we are empty. We are unfulfilled, and most frighteningly, we are out of alignment with where God would have us be." Now, the reason why I wrote these words is because I recognize that there's this pressure to constantly be committed to everything that we have ever began, which is unrealistic. It's just unrealistic. But there's this kind of unspoken pressure of, if you started this thing, then you must finish it. We as a people were afraid of abandoning things, or we're afraid of actually just putting full stops at the end of certain seasons, which have actually basically just rode their time. The Bible says that the end of a thing is more beautiful than the beginning. I think that there's something to be said about ending things being a glorious thing. I think we're so consumed by the idea of beginnings, of doors opening, and that's a beautiful thing. But one thing you have to recognize is that in order for a new beginning to come about, something had to end. Do you understand? Something has to end to create a new beginning. And it's the ending part that we tend to kind of look down on and frown upon. But the reality is that you will outgrow certain things, people, and places. And that's simply because you are growing. When we overly romanticize the past and we're kind of in a relationship with nostalgia, the problem with that is that we somewhat tell ourselves that our better days are behind us. And we tell ourselves that, you know, those were the glory days. And so we don't allow ourselves to grow into the new thing that God is doing in the now. One of the things that I'm learning in this season is that it's important to make peace with the past. It's necessary that we're able to close a door on a chapter and that be okay. Because at the end of the day, how are we ever going to walk into that new thing if we're still holding on to what was? Another reason why we resist change is fear of the unknown. And I don't know about you guys, but this one is very real for me. I think the reality of life is such that we like familiarity. We like what we know. I was listening to a Stephen Furtick message recently called "It's Mine to Manage." And he said this, he said, "It's all good that God knows the plans and the thoughts that he has towards me, but I don't. So what now?" And it's such a great point to make because, yes, you know, according to Jeremiah 29:11, God does know the thoughts that he has towards us. And that's great. But what do you do when you don't necessarily in this moment or in this season know what that looks like. That feeling, that space, existing in that space can be quite frightening. It can almost feel like walking in a room when someone switched the light off. But if we believe that God is our light, then we have to trust that with each step that we take, that He's making the path more clear. In some seasons, the most that you will be able to do is to just keep taking each step, step by step. You might not have the whole blueprint for this project. You might not have the whole blueprint for this dream, for this career, but you have to trust the process and trust that God is making a way even where there seems to be no way. I think it's human nature that we typically don't like change, even when it's coming from within, because change calls for us to make adjustments, and making adjustments is never comfortable. How many of you have called to get your ashoya be sewn, and maybe the first fit in, things aren't really looking snatched, they're not really looking tight, it's not looking like the Instagram picture that you sent to the tailor. And with each adjustment, the dress is being molded to fit you. In like manner, as we're going through change, as we're going through seasons of rediscovery, you are being adjusted, but you're only simply being molded into your purpose. You're only simply being aligned into what God has for you. One of the other reasons why we fear change is the fear of man. We think we have to ask for permission to change lane. You know, when you're driving and you have to indicate left or right to let people know when you're going to change lane, it's almost like we think we have to live our lives like that. When we decide that we're going to go into a new venture or be someone different to who maybe we've been in the past to maybe better ourselves, I don't know where it comes from, but there's this feeling that we need to announce that to people, this feeling that we need to even sometimes apologize that we are no longer what we were or who we were. You should never, ever have to apologize if you've grown, ever. When you've done something for a particular amount of time, people tend to box you in that very thing as if you must do that forever. The joke is it's not even malicious. It's just familiarity. Again, it comes back to human nature in that we like what is familiar. So I spoke about this in the last TTP letter, but some of you may not know, but once upon a time, I actually used to do spoken word. So yes, I pretty much, like I'd say I was a poetry artist, you know, I loved it. I actually ate poetry. I used to write nonstop. I would perform at different universities and kind of concerts. And it was an amazing time in life. It was specifically, I would say, between maybe 2009 and 2012. So whilst I was at university. And, you know, it was kind of this creative surge. It was just this rush where it just wasn't hard for me to create in that space of time. And so a lot of people began to kind of relate me with poetry. A lot of people began to see Deborah Chosen as, oh, that's Deborah Chosen, the poet slash writer. Now, interestingly, once I graduated, I left Leicester and I went back home to Birmingham. And I found that, you know, being back in Birmingham, the art scene at the time, the spoken word scene, wasn't really as alive. And so the opportunities to perform weren't there as much as they had been, you know, during my years of university. Because you know how it is when there's ACS and there's all these different societies that you can get involved in. And so with time, I noticed that I was performing less. From performing less, I then noticed that I didn't necessarily have the urge to write in the way that I did whilst I was in university. I'm the kind of person that I tend to write from emotion. I tend to write from like a prompting, and there wasn't really that prompting. And I was finding new ways to express myself, namely through my YouTube channel at the time. And so as one thing was dying, so to speak, in that being my spoken word, another thing was being born in my YouTube channel. But I remember that during that season, I would dread it. With every fiber of my being, I would dread it when someone would ask me, like, what's happened to the poetry thing? Am I not doing poetry anymore? And I think part of the reason why I dreaded it is because I didn't know the answer. I don't know. Like, I think that we're such a question society. Like, we're told that we need to know what it is that we want to do, who it is that we want to be. From a young age, you know, we ask the question, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? I don't know. I'm still growing up, maybe, because I don't know. In that season, I didn't know whether I was going to return to poetry. I couldn't explain why I wasn't doing poetry. But you know what? I was okay with the fact that I wasn't. And I had to recognize that that's all that mattered. I had to recognize that this guilt that I was carrying for evolving past something that wasn't mine to carry in the first place. And it's funny because recently I was watching some of my old YouTube videos. So I was watching myself do poetry and playing the guitar and playing keys and all these things that I really don't do right now. I don't. And someone that I follow, she DM'd me. Her name is Angela B. And she DM'd me saying this. She asked me, how do you deal with going through so many things? Do you ever feel like your identity was in your hobbies? Or do you get worried that you weren't dedicated and perhaps that's why you didn't stick to one thing? And that really caused me to think, do I miss certain aspects of what I used to do? Yes, I definitely do. Sometimes I look back on those years and I think, wow, like I was on fire. Like musically, I was on fire. I don't know where it came from. Well, ultimately, God, we know. But, you know, I don't really know where it came from. And I don't know why it was for that point of time. But I recognize that it was for that time and that it was a season. And I also recognize that my creativity and your creativity will look different in different seasons. Just because you are the choir leader doesn't mean that that's all you can be. Just because you are the writer doesn't mean that you cannot also be the speaker. We are constantly developing. We are constantly growing. And I believe that God gives us many talents for a reason. Sometimes you will find that the kind of underlying current or the heartbeat of the things that you do is basically the same. So you might find that whether you have a season of writing poetry or you have a season of podcasting or you have a season of a YouTube channel, that what's really running through that is always encouragement, or it's always inspiration. It's always inspiring others, or it's transparency. So don't be ashamed to change. I was talking to one of my friends recently and she pointed out that Jesus himself was many things. He was a carpenter. And then of course he was the Son of God. Like God, the creator of heaven and earth, did not create you in his image just to put you in a box. So do I miss those days and do I look back on them fondly? Yes, I do. But then I also recognize that that was a season, and whether I've put a full stop or a comma at the end of it, God is always in the business of writing new chapters. And so as we're nearing the end of 2018 and we're moving towards a whole new year, it might be that right now you're discovering that some things just don't fit anymore. Maybe your friendship circle is beginning to change. Maybe your desire and your taste for what you do has also changed. Maybe your appetite for what your career will look like is changing, and that's perfectly fine. But why should we accept change? Why is that something that we should welcome? One of the first points is because he makes all things beautiful in its own time. I was reading the book of Ecclesiastes recently, and in chapter 3, Solomon, who was deemed as the wisest man of his time, says, "There is a time for everything." This is the idea that when it's your time, it's your time. It's also the idea that life will require different sides of you. There's a line from the author Zora Neale Hurston that I absolutely love, which says, "There are years that ask questions and years the answer." Some years, months, weeks will look like you being the encourager. Some other seasons in your life, you will actually be the person that needs to be encouraged. Some years you'll be front of the stage and the spotlight will be on you, and you might actually be quite confused by how you even got here. And the years before that may have actually been spent behind the scenes supporting other people in their ventures and not knowing at the time that that's actually what was going to bring you to the main stage. Even if we look at the story of David taken from the Bible, there was a time where he was deemed so insignificant that even his father didn't think he was worthy to be called forth to battle. But fast forward, and there came another time where David is slaying Goliath. Some years will look like winning and slaying Goliath, and other years will look like Aaron and Hur supporting the arms of Moses in a difficult time. But each season holds weight. When it's your time, it's your time. Another reason why we must accept change is because quality is better than quantity. It's better to do a few things with purpose than plenty in vanity. In my seasons of doing music and doing poetry and having the YouTube channel, there's a temptation to continue to do all things. But the reality is that you only have a certain capacity. Think about the parable of the talents. Each one was given a number of talents according to his own ability. So although one had one and maybe one had five, they both actually held the same weight in terms of their capacity. So recognizing your capacity, recognizing that it's better to do fewer things from a place of truth, from a place of authenticity, and from a place of purpose. And the final point on why we must accept change is because you are not what you do. All of your gifts, all of your talents are just an expression of who you are, not the total sum of who you are. I'm Deborah, and I'm also a writer. but I'm also a podcaster, but I'm also a friend, I'm also a daughter. What I do is not solely who I am. If the source of your identity is in the choice of your activity, then it becomes very easy to only exist in the things that we do. And this is a dangerous place to be, because what you do is licensed to change at any given point in your life. And so if you're not careful, your identity will become unstable in different seasons. You have to be able to separate the two. Ultimately, the safest place for identity to be is in Christ, the one true constant in the midst of inevitable change. I'd like to close with the final words from the last TTP letter. I encourage you to ask yourself the hard questions, the questions necessary to understand who you are right now and where you truly want to be, not where others expect you to be. Invite God in to show you you in all your multifaceted glory. And when those glorious unearthed sides of yourself appear, do not shun them away because they are different to what was. Embrace them and trust that if they are in alignment with God, they are absolutely intentional for the journey. So guys, that's all for episode 8 on Trust in the Process. I really do hope that you've been able to take something away from this episode. If you do want to continue this conversation, maybe you're in a similar place, maybe this has kind of spurred on some thoughts for you, then please make sure to share your comments, share the podcast. Make sure that you at me, at Deborah Chosen, across all platforms. So that's on Twitter and that is also on Instagram. Let me know how you guys are navigating change and be sure to share it with a friend. But until next time, you guys already know, y'all stay knowing what you got to do. Keep trusting the process, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.